One unemployment gauge is at its lowest level in 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll ask what this morning's news from the Labor Department that fewer people are filing for unemployment benefits means for the job market in general. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down right now, 44 points to be exact, 11,302. The Nasdaq down about 1/3%, and the S&P 500 also down 1/3%. We got earnings this morning from automaker GM. It says it made $2 billion last quarter. Now to the job front, we heard from the Labor Department this morning that initial jobless claims, that is, new people filing for unemployment insurance, dropped to the lowest level since July. And the 4-week moving average of that indicator, which is more reliable, has dropped to its lowest point in 2 years. Let's bring in Richard DeKayser, an economist at the Parthenon Group. He's with us live from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first on the issue of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits, the lowest 4-week moving average since the financial crisis. What's your take on that?
Well, I think clearly the labor market is going in the right direction. You know, we're on track to add about 1 million jobs this year when all is said and done. The unemployment rate is down about 0.5 percentage point from a year ago, and the number of people, as you just mentioned, who are filing claims, that is getting laid off, is at a 2-year low. So all of this is directionally very encouraging. The problem is we're going in the right direction, but we haven't arrived. We're not by any stretch of the imagination in a normal labor market. The jobless rate, for example, at 9.6% still makes it very tough for workers to negotiate salary increases and feel secure in their positions.
All right. And meanwhile, Richard, there was a story this morning in the Wall Street Journal that Google is raising its pay by 10% across the board to keep employees from defecting to other companies. Is this something that all kinds of employers are going to have to start to do as the job market improves?
No, I don't think so. You know, everything I just said pretty much contradicted what Google just did. I think they're an exception. The company's doing fabulously well. It's very profitable. And I think they're trying to reinforce their reputation as a great place to work, which is already quite strong. So if we look outside of these exceptional cases, the broader reality is that there's a lot of workers competing for jobs, and that's preventing wage increases from improving. Now, we may get there, and in fact, I think we will get there in a couple of years, but the Google experience for the moment is, I think, a little bit out of the norm.
Okay, Richard DeKayser, thanks.
My pleasure.
Macy's said this morning that it saw better than expected sales in the third quarter. But when shoppers head into department stores this holiday season, Marketplace's Jennifer Collins says it'll be more expensive to buy clothes made out of cotton.
Prices of the commodity have doubled in the last year. Hanes and other clothes makers have announced they'll charge more for T-shirts and other basics. But Steve Hoke of the Wharton School of Business says retailers may have trouble passing along those costs.
I don't think that consumers are going to really have a whole lot of patience for a retailer who says, I'm sorry I had to raise my prices, but cotton has gone up.
Instead, retail expert Marianne Bickel says stores may cut back on the cotton products they put on their shelves.
Anything cotton you want to buy right now, because when you come shopping the very next week, it's not going to be there.
Of course, there's always wool or linen. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
When you buy a cell phone or anything else that requires you to sign a contract with a bunch of fine print, do you read it? Me neither. But often in that fine print, companies tell you that if you have any problem with the product, you can't file a class action lawsuit. Well, that is the subject of a case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court this week. And here to talk about it is LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Welcome back to Marketplace.
Thank you.
So tell us first about this case that's before the Supreme Court.
The case is AT&T Mobility versus Concepcion. And in a nutshell, the Concepcion sued AT&T in 2006 because they got cell phones from the company that were ostensibly free, but in fact came with a lot of charges. They said that's fraud. They started a class action lawsuit. Now, AT&T subsequently went to a court in Southern California and said, let's throw out the case because our contract says you cannot join a class action lawsuit. And the district court said, well, that's unconscionable. And so it went up to a federal appeals court. The appeals court also upheld the Concepcion side and said it's unconscionable to bar people from joining a class action lawsuit. So AT&T has petitioned to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is hearing the case this week.
And this has everything to do with these contracts that we sign, not just with cell phones, but with all kinds of other products. What are the potential ramifications for consumers?
The ramifications are really broad because, as you say, these are these take-it-or-leave-it contracts that a credit card company or a cell phone company or a cable TV company issues.
Right.
And if there's an arbitration clause in there that says you cannot join a class action lawsuit, boom, you have just lost your right to sue. That's a very big deal. And high courts in California and elsewhere have said that's unconscionable. Basically, what's at stake here is the Federal Arbitration Act of 1925 and whether that's going to trump state rulings that strike down class action bans.
Why are class action lawsuits such a big deal for these companies? Are they that common?
They are very common, but there also are a lot of abuses in the system. Typically, the lawyers walk away with the lion's share of the money, but this is one of the most powerful tools available to the little guy, especially in cases involving small amounts of money where you really wouldn't litigate on your own. And also, this is a key way that big businesses can be held accountable for any sorts of misdeeds.
Okay, we'll be watching what happens in the Supreme Court. David Lazarus, consumer columnist at the LA Times, thanks again.
A pleasure.
And finally, the kickoff of Conan O'Brien's new late-night show on TBS drew 4.1 million viewers on Monday night. That was enough to beat Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. Then again, when Conan launched his version of The Tonight Show last year, he also beat all the competition. So it seems debut shows are good for Conan. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Unemployment in Ireland is nearly 14%, so facing long odds against getting a job, the young and ambitious are getting out.
There's a sense at home that if you had a job, that you should have been happy to have a job and happy to stay in it. But really, that wasn't enough for me.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Celtic Tiger, tamed. That story, the rest of the day's business news, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.